Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Discover luxurious duvet sets today. Visit harrycurry.com for stylish comfort this spring.
0818 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. 51551 is our text number, and 0818 715 815. Now, Michael Mohan. Michael, good afternoon. From Baldoyle in Dublin, nobody could doubt that your intentions were good and decent and honourable and generous. Michael, what happened?
Hey, Joe. Joe, I'm a small builder and EM Carpentry, and I live out down in Baldoyle, down on the seafront there.
Okay.
So a lot of people walk along the seafront there near the church.
Near just for people outside of Dublin, near Howth in Dublin on the north side, yeah.
Okay. So I was building a house for a guy in Baldoyle, a guy called Conor O'Malley.
Okay.
And when we finished the house, we were looking out, we'd done a complete build for him. And we'd done the attic conversion from, we'd done from the ground up. It was nearly a four-month project. So just at the end of the job, we were looking out the back window out at the sea.
Yeah.
And Conor told me the story about his brother.
Okay.
Yeah, he took his life.
And he was a young—he was a young man.
Young guy, young guy.
He was only 18.
So anyway, I came up with the idea. I says, "I'm going to put a couple of benches there."
Okay.
So the family can go visit and say hello to the sea, and he—the body was found in Howth.
Okay.
So anyway, I got a friend of mine, Kevin, in Fingal Steel in Baldoyle, to make me up three benches. So I put the benches on the seafront. And there's a WhatsApp group or a Facebook group there called We Grew Up in Baldoyle.
Okay.
So anyway, the comments there coming along, and they start saying, whoever put the benches on the seafront is an absolute legend. So I actually put them there for, there's a lot of hospitals around this area as well. So you have invalid children, old people. And so people are putting it all over Facebook. They love the benches. And everybody's enjoying it, and now the summer's here, so it's everybody's great.
And it's a beautiful, it's beautiful view, and the benches, I presume.
It's a beautiful view.
Given
if
that
your head's not in the right place, Joe, you go out there and sit and watch that sea, and I'll tell you what, you'll forget about everything.
Yeah.
But anyway, I come back in to my house, because I live on Borough Road. I come back into my house by the sea, because I actually like to see if there's anybody sitting on the benches.
Okay.
And they're always booked up.
Yeah,
someone's always sitting on them. Someone's always sitting on them. Anyway, Friday came and I was getting ready to finish my day. And then the benches were taken away.
And tell us, just Michael, before we go, tell us about the structure of the benches. I know they're steel, is it, obviously? How they were secured, the design of them.
I made them anti-vandal, Joe. I made them heavy. So you couldn't take three guys to lift these things.
Okay.
So they were galvanized steel.
Right.
So they cost me £1,000 to get them made up. And I took that. I didn't look for anybody, money off anybody or nothing like that.
Yeah.
So I got these benches put on the seafront and people loved them. It was all over Facebook. We grew up in Baldoyle. And people are saying, whoever put the chairs up, you're a fucking legend and all. But like, there's lots of people.
And how did you secure them to the...
I bolted them to the ground, Joe, with concrete screws.
So you knew what you were doing.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I'm a builder, like.
Of course.
The concrete screws I use, they take a hexy head, and not the ordinary guy has these kind of head screws. So I got my team, I have a couple of lads that work with me, and so we all lifted the benches into place. I finished up early one day, came down, got the benches in about 4 weeks ago. And now they're gone. So we did discover that Fingal took the benches away.
Fingal County Council,
They admitted it. And what they said to me was, I've no planning. But, Joe, there's people there, and they're not well. They're in wheelchairs. There's all sorts of stuff going on down that direction. And people just need them chairs to sit on and just forget about the whole week, you know.
And had you anything on them to mark that they were in memory of Kevin?
I was after getting a plaque made.
Okay.
And I didn't even get the fitter yet, Joe. I still have it. It's in Luton. So we call these chairs the Kevin O'Malley chairs.
Okay.
So I have the plaque.
Yeah, okay.
But, but I haven't got my chairs.
Okay, but the statement from Fingal County Council, it's a pity they won't supply his brochures, but anyway, I'll give you this, Michael, and for the listeners, because it's pretty definitive now. The benches were installed by an unknown person with no identifying information provided.
Yeah.
We removed them to our depot for storage in the hope that the resident would contact us to reclaim them, which they did yesterday, and we told them where they're being stored. No approach for permission to place these in the public realm was made to Fingal County Council. It says Fingal, but presumably mean Fingal County Council. There are clear requirements in place for these type of memorials, including that benches be bolted down to the ground, meaning
they were bolted, Joe.
I know that, meaning that it is not possible to leave them in situ. They were subsequently removed in case there were any subsequent accidents or acts of vandalism,
which would
lead to liability issues, the old bold liability issues, the legal issues for Fingal. Now, were you talking to anyone in Fingal? By the way,
up to Fingal yesterday looking for me benches, and nobody would give me an answer where they were. And I was like, no, we just have them. And then I walked around the yard, and a man goes, you can't be in this yard, fucking. You're not insured now. And he says, I want my benches back, and I want them put back where we left them.
Mm-hmm.
And he's fucking. So basically, I couldn't find them in the yard. I looked everywhere.
But did you make any approach to Fingal County Council at any time before? No, before you erected the benches.
No, I didn't, Joe.
Why didn't you?
Because, Joe, there are only a couple of benches. They're not doing any harm. They weren't in the way, Joe. They were stepped in. There's lampposts that is in the ground, and they're about 2 foot away from the wall. I had these benches in beside the wall, so you couldn't hit them with a bike. But there was loud. You'll see the carers; they were using them. Mm-hmm. I photographed people. I got over 100 people messaged me and sending me photographs of people with their children sitting on the benches. Love the benches. Right, but there's benches down on the other end where the church is, but that's about 3/4 of a mile down. Some
well, I'll read this out again to you, Michael. They were subsequently removed in case there were any subsequent accidents or acts of vandalism which would lead to liability issues for Fingal. Yeah.
But there was there's benches down the other end. It's the same thing. It's the exact same thing. So why is my benches different to Fingal's benches?
Because they
paid for this.
Because they didn't. I know, and you paid substantially for them, and you didn't include.
Yeah.
You didn't include, by the way, your own. And I know you wouldn't. Your own labour and the labour of your mates and your colleagues. They say subsequent accidents, third time to read it out, subsequent accidents or acts of vandalism which would lead to liability issues for Fingal.
They couldn't be, Joe. Joe, they have planning in there for something and they wouldn't tell me what it is and it's going through the courts.
So what are you going to... Okay, what are you going to do next? What will you do? You say you haven't even seen the benches.
No, hang on. We actually got news about an hour ago. That Fingal, by some chance, found the benches.
Okay, well, that's fair enough. Well, how many of them is there in total?
There's three in total.
Three, yeah, okay. Well, they'd hardly lose three benches.
So I was on to my local councillor, Cahill Haughey.
Yeah.
And Cahill actually hunted them down for me. I couldn't get them yesterday. And Cahill got them there for me today. He said, Mick, they're up there. And I says, Cahill, we want them benches back. And my community and Baldoyle want them back.
And if you
we
get
them back on the seafront.
But if you get them back, what are you going to do with them, Michael?
I'm going to put them back on the seafront. And if I have to pay money or a fine, job, I will. I'll take the hit on this. I want them benches back, Joe, for people to sit there and forget about things.
And Fingal say there is a procedure you go through to erect.
I asked them what we do and they wouldn't give me an answer. And if you look up on through the Google and all, there's no, you're talking to machines. I need to talk to a person. What do we do? Okay, they give me, they are going to do a development on the seafront. They said it could take 6 months, it could take a year. And I says, this country, I says, it'll take 6 years or 12 years. We could have them benches there now, and people could be sitting there and enjoying that view.
And looking out at the sea, the sea of the last few days has been especially beautiful, silver, shining, glittering sea.
There's thousands of sick
but
people
they say
there,
they sent. There. I don't know whether you're aware of Section 7. They've sent us in Section 7. Procedure to make a proposal for naming or for a memorial has to be in writing. You have to get the written agreement of Fingal County Council. I don't know whether that's the actual councillors or the administrators.
Well, the design,
the design and text of any wording with the erection must be agreed with the council. You send all this in writing to the Fingal County Council Memorial Assessment Committee, Commemorative Memorial Assessment Committee, PO Box 174, Swords, Main Street, County Dublin. You must send in a marked map and photographs of where you propose to locate them. The text must be provided along with dimensions, details of materials, visualizations.
Yeah.
Design drawings of the proposal. Supporting materials such as publication, texts, photographs, videos will be acceptable, cannot be returned. I don't know what would they want the death cert of young Kevin O'Mahony. They say we need
that's all I'm short of asking for. But a second, like Joe, it's a couple of benches. There's benches down the other end. Why can't we have benches down our end? I'm paying for them. I'm not looking for money.
He's just getting out.
Okay, like, okay.
Let's get the benches back in for the pit. The summer's here.
But then, everyone can understand you're upset. You're very upset. Yeah. But like this now, just bear with me on this. They have the law on their side. It is City Hall, and you can't beat City Hall, Michael. They say there is a system. Now, that being said, as people know, boringly, I walk the Bull Wall a lot. I see the benches down on the Bull Wall. I presume they're installed by either the Port and Docks Board who own there or it would be the port. But now people have started putting up little plaques on the slats. Yeah. They're metal slats. And they're little plaques. There's about 20 of them at this stage. They're becoming a feature in memory of certain people.
People are all thinking the same thing.
And I know Kevin's family are aware of this and they're okay with it. Patrick is there. Patrick, good afternoon. Joe at rt.ie 51551.
How are you doing there? I just came in. I heard the conversation going on about the council taking away
They say they're illegal benches, basically.
Yeah. Well,
they didn't get permission.
Anyway, what I wanted to say was, I spent a lot of time with my dad going for walks before he died, yeah?
Okay.
And the thing you're always looking for is somewhere to sit down. You know, they walk for a couple of hundred yards, and then they, you know, all right, you sit down now for a minute. Nowhere to sit.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think the discussion could probably be about, you know, have we got enough places for, you know, older people or people that are infirm or whatever to just sit down, have a rest, and carry on their walk. The
knowledge
is to get people out walking anyway, isn't it?
But Michael, is there any other way to memorialise Kevin? Could you put up a tree?
No, Joe. Like, there's gas pipes and all kinds of stuff in that ground, and they're about 3 foot down, so you'd bust through. People don't need a tree. People need somewhere to sit.
I understand
that.
And Michael, are the seats impeding anyone's view?
No. Not at all. I sent you photographs this morning, Joe. They're actually a nice chair. They're grand. They're nice. Like lots of people. One girl sent me a message there last night. Her dad was 91, and he was says whoever put them chairs there, thank you very much.
Okay.
And like the dog is out for his walk there all the time, like, you know.
Patrick.
I don't know what the dad's name is, but I can show you the message.
Jimmy.
That she sent us.
Patrick.
He's long gone now, but we did spend a lot of time going for walks. We spent years going for walks together. And that's the first
thing
you're looking for
every
time you go on a walk. You're thinking, well, okay, will there be somewhere to sit down on that street or wherever, you know?
Yeah.
No, nothing.
And Michael... obviously you put an awful lot of work and thought and money into this, and you consulted the family who, as you say, you met through your work. The erection of the benches, obviously before they were removed, did that give any solace or succour to the family and indeed you?
You know what? They told me they'd like to take me out for a meal and thank me very much.
Okay. Have you ever done anything like this before, Michael? You sound a very genuine, decent.
We sponsor 3 football teams in the area.
Okay.
We look after the area, like.
What people are the young boys and girls are Carpentry. Okay.
So if you go out to a Balboa United football ground, you'll see E.M. Carpentry sign there. So we're up there looking after the kids. They're at night time. My own wife goes out in the rain to cheer on the kids.
Yeah, of course. And you said you were one of the councillors was in touch with you. Does Cathal Haughey have any ideas?
Cathal Haughey found them today. He found them today.
So, but did he say anything to you about how to proceed? You're putting them up either. You're putting them back up either way.
Well, probably, Joe. Yeah, we want the benches there for everybody. The summer, what do we get, Joe? 2 months of summer.
2 days, 2 weeks. the councillor? I presume this is what the council were saying if they were here. There's rules and regulations. What would they say? Say somebody was acting the whatever, acting the eejit on the benches and fell off.
Yeah.
And they said the benches were badly designed, which you know the world we live in.
Yeah.
Who'd be liable?
But Joe, there's benches down the other end. Like, what if people fall off them benches?
Yeah, it's not the benches' fault.
Yeah.
Are your benches the same as the council benches?
Mine are a lot better.
Already, okay.
Because the council benches are made of timber. And they'll rot and fall apart where mine is metal.
But I'm looking at them now. They're the exact same build, as far as I can see, as the ones on the ball wall, which were put up by the authorities.
Did you see the picture of a little child? And one of the parents sent me a message. He loves the bench.
Yeah. That's where teenagers can sit and chat and older people can sit and chat and mix some gathering. Were they heavy to lift?
It took 3 guys to lift this job.
It's a 3-man job, as they said.
It's a 3-man job. And I actually brought down 5 of the lads. So we had 2 lads because we couldn't park on the road. So we had to park over across the road, drag them across the road to the traffic lights, and then 2 of the lads had to carry the screws and the drills and all that type of stuff.
Yeah. And when you were putting them up, what time of day or night did you put them up?
We put them up about 3 o'clock in the day. We were finished up on the Friday. And then there was one particular guy. Now, I don't know who he is, but he lives along the seafront. And he said to us, joking, he says, is there any chance of bringing that down to where my house is? I'm about halfway down. And he says, no, we only have 3 of them. Yeah. And we live up this end, so we want to
I'm looking at the design now. I actually think they're better than the ones on the bull wall. It's a lovely design. Yeah. Who designed them, Michael?
Fingal Steel, a guy called Kevin.
Yeah, because I know they have the slats for the rain, obviously.
Well, Kevin made them up in steel, a galvanised for me, and he charged me cost because I told him what he was doing. And fair play to the gentleman, he goes, no problem, Mick, I'll do that.
Okay.
Just pay me
so
cost.
How can we proceed? How can we get them with you? You
the
understand?
Council,
I know, Michael,
agree,
but you understand if you're now saying. On the airwaves. If I get them back, I'm going straight down to put them back up again. Now, that will upset Fingal. That will upset them. Whereas
some guys, they'll have to suck it up and just get on it. People need it. Like, Joe, if we have to go down all this paperwork and all that, well, let's do the paperwork down the line, and then they agree to do me. That'll be 6 months gone, and we're back into winter.
I just wonder, I'm seeing more photographs coming in now. And I'm getting a clearer picture of they're beautifully designed and made from the photograph. Would you not be able to send in the photographs to the council?
Well, they know what they look like. They were there. It was them who removed them.
Yeah, I know, but in terms of the people who removed them were the men and women working in that particular depot. They were doing their job. Yeah. Remember, they're doing their job, in fairness.
Yeah.
But the people who give permission are in that beautiful new building there in Swords.
If anybody in the council could contact me and set up a meeting and then tell me what I have to do, and then I'll make it.
It's clear from their list what you have to do. You've got to submit a design. You've got to submit the text, the typography, the location, photographs, a map, the reason why you're putting, why it's named after, why the memorial is named after this particular...
Well, it was named after Kevin O'Malley.
I know.
It's also put there for the children.
Of course, and for everybody.
There's a lot of invalid children around there, and the carers were sitting on them with the children, looking at the sea, and the same with the old folks. They were sitting there looking at the sea.
You're saying, and I know you're conscious of the fantastic weather we're having at the minute, you're saying let's get them up ASAP, but you don't believe, if you go through this process, that...
They'll tell me no.
And how long do you think it would take you to get through this process?
I'd say, now in this country, Joe, a lifetime. I'm 53 now, Joe. I have 20 years left in me, max, I'd say.
Will I see
them up there before I go?
The cost involved in you were willing to cover this, you already had the cost involved in the erection of a monument or plaque will normally be borne by the proposers. Proposers will therefore have to demonstrate in their application how funding will be, she already paid for them, how funding will be raised for the proposal.
And we paid the labour to erect them.
And then they also this is something in your favour, Michael. They say at the end, Fingal County Council will not be responsible once the seats are erected, they will not be responsible for future and maintenance and upkeep of plaques promoted by a private individual or group or erected on a privately owned structure.
I'd never ask for that, Joe.
Okay.
I never asked for that. I didn't paint them because I knew I'd be painting them every fucking 2 years.
Would Cathal Haughey go up with you to the council? Or Jimmy Gearan, there's loads of great councillors out there. Could you go in with Cathal
Haughey would go up with me. I know he would, because he's the one who's helping me fund them.
Okay. Now, I presume you're busy with the carpentry and the construction.
Joe, we're booked out for the next 2 years.
Okay.
So we're flat out. So we're taking our time just to get this done for everybody.
Okay, so you're not talking
to other people, Joe.
I know. We'll hear from them. Joe at rt.ie 51551. So you're not available to help Jennifer Carol McNeil finish the Children's Hospital?
Joe, if I hadn't got that gig, that would have been done in a month.
Well, it looks like
we built a house in 6 weeks, Joe.
I drove past it today. It looks absolutely magnificent, hopefully now. Michael, well done, and above all, condolences to Kevin's family.
Yeah.
And well done to you for doing it. And I think it can proceed with goodwill on all parts. Michael, would you mind yourself? Well done.
Joe, thanks very much.
What's the name of that? Baldoyle United?
You'll see us there. We're there.
Any good ball players? Any up and coming?
Come here. We're the next Ronaldo's up there.
Well done.
But Joe, if we can get these things while the summer is here, and forget about the paperwork, we're not going to. Nobody's going to die, Joe. It's only a fucking chair.
Okay.
So let's get these back up.
Okay, and we remember Kevin. Thanks indeed.
Kevin O'Malley chairs, people.
Yeah. Thanks, Michael. Michael Mullen and Patrick as well. Joe at rt.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe at rt.ie. Liam, you say, as soon as the sun appears, you hear the lawnmowers and the buzzing sounds like chainsaws. You call them the murder machines of nature. You encouraging people in the good weather not to mow their lawn.
No, not indeed, Joe. Actually, I'm sitting on the bench up here in Lochee.
Make sure no one takes it from under you.
But listen, before COVID, you would have had to drag me into a garden. I had very little interest in it. But since then, I've started to get involved. And like living in Leitrim, we're the most natural county in Ireland. We've nature coming out all over. But even here, we have you know, problems with people destroying a lot of the habitats for wildlife. And I'm talking about, you know, butterflies, moths, all of the stuff of the chain of, you know, of nature and food and all of that sort of thing. And there's no doubt about it that come the first, mm-hmm. you know, sign of dry weather, good weather,
we're in it,
the machines are out. And, you know, they've been out here even in March, you know, it's just...
And why do you want people to hold off before they ride their lawnmowers?
Because apparently this is called the hungry gap, the hungry months. April, May is when like all the winter berries have gone, and they're waiting on new growth to actually bring forth different plants. But I'm also talking about things like dandelions, which apparently are incredibly good for moths and butterflies and things
Absolutely.
Of that nature.
Yes, and bees.
And general insects. I'm talking about dock leaves. I'm talking about thistles. All of the type of stuff that we have been led to believe are kind of a nuisance. But in fact, they're so essential for nature.
And is the ride-on lawnmower, is that a phenomenon above in Leitrim?
The macho men.
You tell me.
The macho men, yeah. I tell you the big issue with them. I mean, a ride-on mower is now the equivalent of driving a car up and down your lawn, you know, for an hour.
Yeah.
And just think of the emissions situation. But I see them out on verges, you know, where you'd have a really long verge in front of the house, whatever. And these would be on, you know, minor roads and whatever. And for some reason or other, they've got it into their heads that they've got to have a trim verge. I think that's an English thing. It goes back to the landlord class.
Apart from, pardon the pun, verging on the ridiculous, it's also quite dangerous because if one of those ride-on lawnmowers tips over...
Sure.
You don't want that, then, do you? Liam, do you think people are buying ride-on lawnmowers for gardens which would easily be done by your fly mow? Do you follow
possibly.
Me?
And I mean, you have.
You're saying they're a macho. They're a macho attachment.
It's definitely a macho thing. Yeah. Absolutely. I think, you know, if you have a row with herself inside, you know, you'll tend to go out and sit on the ride-on and off you go for an hour and a half, you know, and choke yourself with the fumes. I just think it's total madness. And at the same time, you're like 60% of the habitats have now gone for nature in this country already. I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah, well, I think a lot more people are becoming conscious of the meadow and letting at least part of their garden grow wild. Stay with us, Liam. joe@rte.ie, 51551 is the text number. Afra Cronin has contacted us in Waterford. Tell us, Afra, you're concerned about the Tramore Nature Park.
Well, yes, Joe, thank you for having me. Mm-hmm. And can I reiterate everything Liam said there as far as we're concerned down here in Tramore? And poor Michael with his council, we seem to be blessed with really nice councillors. They're really good to us.
Right.
I rang you because of Joan's run-in with the four dogs where her sheep were destroyed a couple of weeks ago.
Wexford,
and my heart broke for her.
In Wexford,
And that was really terrible. So what I want to say seems very small by comparison.
No, fine.
However, can I just read something? Professor Brian Sykes, I'm afraid when I was quoting this, I forgot to write which ologist he is.
Okay.
But you'll get it from the meaning. The genetic history of the dog is a sensational example of the co-evolution of two species, man and wolf. Mm-hmm. To each other's mutual benefit. Even the smallest of dog breeds have traits of the wolf, who must hunt for a living. Now, that's basing on that, I go back to my eco park, which was the dump in Tramore in the 80s.
Okay.
And the council is into the back strand, and finally it was covered and it became a small walk. It's perfect for the elderly, actually, and in the beginning, we used to use it twice a week, and we called it the Lark Park.
Okay.
Now,
it's beautiful.
I'm giving you a tip.
Yeah, what's happened? What's happened?
Well, the larks. There's not a lark in the sky now. The skylarks are gone, the curlews, the lapwings. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, dog lovers will not keep their dogs on leads. Not all. I must stress that. There are some very nice. And actually, when we've approached some people with dogs off leads, they actually are pleased to hear our story. The problem is the dog goes in and finds a bird's nest.
Oh,
and of course, he'll eat the eggs.
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can I tell you a little story about Imelda? We were walking there one day and we saw a young woman with an older man and a younger child and a big dog coming up from the car park. And Imelda approached and said, oh, she leaned down to let the dog off the lead. And Imelda bent down and said, oh, no, don't let the dog off the lead. And the young woman said, why? And Imelda said, oh, he'll go after the birds.
Yeah, it's not the dog's fault, it's the owner's fault. There is a sign up, I presume.
That's exactly it. But the thing is, she said, the young woman said to Imelda, oh, he doesn't like birds. And Imelda laughed and said, no, she said, but he'll take the eggs out of the nest. And she turned to the older man and she said, oh, yes, Dad, he loves eggs, doesn't he? Now, to tell you the truth, we fell around. We didn't know what to do, to tell you the truth.
Eggs are life, yeah.
What are you doing about what can we do about it? So all the birds have shifted to one side and the Lark Park is now the Nature Park, Eco Park, but it certainly isn't a bird park.
Okay, Gerard O'Sullivan, stay there, Afra. Yeah, stay there, Afra. Gerard O'Sullivan. Gerard, where are you based?
I'm in Cork, Joe.
And I know you're an avid member of Birdwatch Ireland and you're... Is this time of year especially?
It's the nesting season now is beginning, so you can see birds behaving differently. They're pairing up, for example, you know. But I just have to say, I was just listening to that woman there.
Yeah.
Dogs would not be interested in birds' nests on the ground.
Okay.
99% of dogs are not interested in birds. The problem, the lapwings and the curlews and the skylarks, I remember as a child, the skylark would be singing very, very high in the sky and then he'd drop down into the middle of the field and I'd go running looking for the nest. Those days are gone. Skylarks are practically extinct in Ireland.
Yeah.
But it's the habitat, Joe.
Yeah.
It's the habitat. They don't have nests. And unfortunately, the grass is being cut. So their nests have been destroyed. It's not dogs.
Okay.
It's not foxes. It's habitat. It's the destruction of habitat. That's it. Full stop.
And explain the who is destroying and why.
Well, farmers have to earn a living.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Understand that.
So... You know, unfortunately, they have the land and, you know, you can't expect a farmer to get out and check, walk ahead of a tractor looking for a nest on the ground.
Yeah.
You know, but it is the destruction of habitat.
And
you know?
You would have seen the photograph in the papers yesterday, the first corncrake, the sound of was recorded, but it was a beautiful photograph as well. Gerard, what do you think of Liam's distaste for the macho ride-on lawnmower, which are wreaking havoc all over the country, he believes?
Well, half of my garden is completely wild,
mm-hmm.
you know. The other portion of it is a pond, and I have a reed bed, so I don't really... I've never used a lawnmower.
Okay.
You can imagine what my opinion on those ride-ons.
Have you ever, as the fellow said, have you ever sat up on a ride-on lawnmower?
No, I haven't.
Had you ever gagging to get up on a ride-on lawnmower and run around your garden in a powerful machine beneath you?
Yeah. No, I don't need that. My ego stroke like that, Joe.
Okay. What else is there? Yeah, is it just me?
I wouldn't class myself as a bird watcher. I'd be into the study of birds, which is ornithology. And over the years, I have discovered interesting things. The one interesting one is the robin. And any time I told people mm-hmm. about the fact about the robin, particularly the female robin, it's literally destroy their image of the beautiful robin that's on the Christmas card.
Why? Well, tell us. You could try and destroy my image of it then. Tell us.
Right, okay. So when the robins pair up,
yes,
the male and the female take turns in brooding the eggs, sitting on the eggs.
Yeah, well done, yeah.
So what the male takes over from the female,
right.
The female flies off to another male's territory,
yeah,
and mates with that male,
yeah,
and then comes back to the nest an hour later. And also, the eggs that the male robin is incubating might not even be his eggs.
Okay.
So the female robin gets around.
Yeah, but...
Majority of birds don't do that.
Okay, but the robin does.
The robin is one of the few
birds... We won't make any moral judgments about the...
We won't make any moral judgments, no.
But there's no fights emanating from this, is there, between the two males or more?
Yeah, male robins are vicious.
They actually fight for
over territory in the months of January and February and March.
And what do you think of these?
Extremely vicious.
What do you think of these new nest cams? The cameras. Derek Mooney invented them, I think, a few years ago.
I had a few myself. It's very interesting.
Okay, but they're okay. They don't interfere with that. Don't interfere with anything.
No.
And
no.
How do you watch birds?
Well, I go to a local wood.
Okay.
I won't name the wood because there's two sparrowhawk nests in
beautiful.
The wood.
Beautiful, yeah.
Yeah, sparrowhawk is a beautiful bird of prey, particularly the male. Yeah.
And I was I don't know whether you heard me, I mentioned on Friday about the dead seagull on the Bull Wall that had been savaged by, somebody reckoned it was a kestrel or a buzzard. What do the sparrowhawks predate on?
The sparrowhawks would only go for small birds, hence the name sparrow. Buzzards go for mainly dead carrion.
Okay.
You know? Yeah. A bird of prey wouldn't take on a seagull.
Okay.
A bird of prey would not take on... A herring gull is a huge seagull, for example.
Yeah, yeah.
A buzzard wouldn't take on a seagull unless the seagull was injured.
And have we many birds of prey in Ireland?
Yeah, the buzzard is doing very, very well.
Yeah, we heard that.
Extremely well.
To the detriment of who?
To the detriment of the kestrel, actually.
Okay. Well, what about to the detriment of smaller birds? Their prey.
I know it's the
circle of life and all that, carry on.
That's what I was just going to say, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the destruction of habitat that is the problem. Like, you know. They will go through habitats that are untouched.
Mm-hmm.
They don't need planning permission. They don't need anything. And they just plough ahead, pardon the pun. They just plough ahead.
Okay.
There's no consideration given to... And I think you might have heard of this famous bat tunnel in England.
Yes, yes.
That held up a motorway.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a £25 million bat tunnel that the English had to put in because it went near a forest
mm-hmm.
that had a rare type of bat.
Yeah.
So they had to protect the bat from the motorway and the traffic. So they had to build this tunnel. And the Irish wouldn't do that.
And you're
the English care more about their nature than the Irish do.
We're good nature. Though in Germany, isn't it? In Germany where some towns and villages have put a curfew on cats, that they can't go out during certain months because they're a danger to to garden birds.
Yeah, there was
Would that work here?
The Oddies. One of the Oddies is Bill Oddie, and mm-hmm. he was a presenter on BBC.
That's right.
It was Spring Watch, and on live television, he said that there should be a cull on cats in England.
Oh.
And he lost his job.
Wow.
I firmly believe that there should be a cull on wild cats in Ireland because they wreak havoc during the nesting season. It's not dogs that go near nests.
And how would you call, if they're feral cats, how would you call them?
Oh, well, the way they call badgers.
Which is what? How do they call badgers? Poison them?
No, they shoot them.
Okay.
You can't put down poison and it would affect the other animals, you know.
But, Jared, people love cats.
I know they do. I know they do. But these are wild cats.
Yeah.
These are wild cats.
Well, I know. Would you not just... If you spayed the cats, the feral cats, would that not help in the longer term? By the way, it's illegal to shoot a badger, and it's illegal to shoot a cat or a dog.
Well,
isn't it?
I'm not too sure about the cats now, Joe.
But at the wild, I'm sure there's something on the Wildlife Act. You can't go around shooting animals without certain licenses.
There was a call.
And inter alia, that means that if the.
Yeah. As regards feral cats, I'm not too sure about the law. And there was a call on badgers, but badgers, of course, I'm a...
Very controversial.
The only animal I don't like are cats, wild cats.
We did this before, put a little bell on the cat, and that would let the birds know he's on his way.
There are a million wild cats in Ireland. Yeah. That's going to be a lot of bells, Joe.
Yeah, okay. Bob Foyle is there. Bob, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Jay.
Your contribution, please.
Yeah, I just emailed in one of your guys. The other people were saying about, dogs. I mean, it's certainly not dogs by any means. And the main predators around this area for ground nesting birds is mink, wild mink, which is a native species in Ireland. I mean, the mink were released. The fur coats lost fashion there years and years ago, but this area, a whole group of the different angling clubs and hunting clubs, there was a big meeting last year one of our local politicians got all the groups together and they were trying to get some kind of hunting of trapping mink. A lot of people are called trap mink, and the mink just are devastating because they don't leave a trace.
They're not native to Ireland. They were introduced. They were farmed, and then they escaped from the farm. Is there still an awful lot of them, Bob?
Masses, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, we have a couple of guys in this area that I can't say who they are or where, but put traps out, and then they'll catch them, no problem at all. And then there's another group that down in Nina, on the Nina River, because there's still salmon running up the Nina River that not many people know about. But, the mink, they're just all the way along. And certain stretches between the bridges where they put traps down, they'll catch many, many mink.
But the mink are killing birds and they're killing anything. They kill more than that, don't they?
Anything that's ground nesting.
Yeah. And I'm told you have an especial interest in sea eagles, raptors.
Oh, yeah. That's my main...
And how often do you see them in Ireland?
Photographed on Sunday.
Oh, well done!
Five different birds.
Wow!
Released locally, and some from Kerry. They're moving up the Shannon at the moment. They usually do in the spring. I've been following them for over 15 years now.
And what is it that so fascinates you?
Well, it was part of the reintroduction program.
Yeah.
Which was run by Alan Mee. Alan Mee is still very active. The National Parks and Wildlife, of course, they joined up with the Norwegian government, and the first 100 were introduced in 2010. And I've been following them since then. Yeah.
Okay. And where do you publish? Where do you put your photographs and
I put some photographs occasionally on my Facebook page.
Okay.
Some of the photographs go to national parks and wildlife, and some go to the Golden Eagle Trust.
And then you have to be careful about giving away the location because, as we
know,
some of these birds have been poisoned.
Well, yeah, not necessarily deliberately. I mean, some of the poisons that they've been found with.
Okay, they've been injecting lambs. Whatever. Yeah, I understand.
There are farmers that put out poisoned lamb, and the eagle will eat carrion, and if it's poisoned, then the eagle will inject
it. Yeah, of course, okay.
And some of the
The white-tailed sea eagle doing?
White-tailed sea eagle. Extremely well.
Brilliant.
Yeah, they've had a real boost in the last 3 years.
Well, fantastic. Some good news. Stay with us, Bob Bobs in Tipperary. Yep. Across the border there in Kilkenny is Martin Quigley. You have your
good.
Martin, you have your own theory as to why the bird population is in trouble.
Well, sure, farmer practices is the biggest contributor to it. Like, yeah. If you go back, I remember back 60 years ago when farmers used to, you know, of course they moved on, used to make all their own meal, like they grind their own corn, make their own flour and homey that, like. And all of the spilled stuff that was around the sheds and that. The sparrows, especially small birds, came in and they had a field there because they could feed themselves up the whole year round. Like.
Okay.
That's all that thing is way, way gone now, right?
Yeah.
And in that, with no very little meadow now, it's all silage. So the grass is cut very early in the year. There's no meadows left out here where they grow hay, like very little. So a lot of the nesting birds, all their habitat is gone as well.
So what can be done even to make a small difference, Martin?
Each farmer should be told to leave a minimum of 10 acres. Just go wild naturally. Let the grass grow, let everything grow wild, the flowers out. Just leave it there and just leave it alone. And
but 10 acres could be the making or breaking of a viable farm.
If your farm is that small and 10 acres, if you can't afford 10 acres, you should find another way of making a living. Because most farmers now have huge land masses, huge, and the amount of cows they're making and the amount of slurry they're spreading. And then the spread of the slurry the old way was a huge detrimental to Hawaii life as well and habitat. The gas is coming off it. Because I saw documentaries on it being done on it.
Yeah, I know, the gas, the slurry is savage as well. Say there, Martin, John Howard...
Go back to the old way.
John Howard is in Fermoy, Martin. John, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
Dogs and nature reserves and the damage they do.
Yeah, I just came in for the end of that discussion there, and I manage Corran Nature Reserve, which is near Fermoy.
Okay.
And obviously, being a nature reserve, we can't allow dogs in.
Yeah.
And every now and again, even this morning, we had a group of people in and they had a dog with them, and the dog was just running wild in the nature reserve. Even though we have signs up before you enter in it, as you enter it, but an awful lot of dog owners are just irresponsible and just ignore these signs.
And what powers do you have, John?
Well, we have plenty of power because we own the nature reserve 100%. So we kindly point it out to people and just ask them to leave with the dog, and they're very welcome without the dog. But we have young birds there at the minute. We have some lovely clutches of ducks, of water hens. We have other birds nesting. So we just cannot allow dogs.
Yeah. Can you explain to people when you go up to them and say no dogs, can you explain to them the beauty of what they can see without a dog and why a dog would do damage?
Yeah, we're very diplomatic about
course,
it. And we
yeah,
do.
And yeah.
Most people do understand, but we get the odd one trying to put up an argument as to say the dog is a patient, the dog is in a lead and this are rubbish.
And what's it like down there in this beautiful weather? I presume you have the same. I shouldn't really, but
it's like
the weather, tells me it's nationwide. Yeah.
Go in there now at the minute and just sit down by the duck pond and smell the gorse and look at the ducks catching the flies. It's just like heaven now at the minute.
Sounds beautiful.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
Okay. Stay with us, John. Aidan MacDonald. Aidan, good afternoon.
Hello, Joe. How are you?
You're above and loud.
I never met in there, Joe, but I always listen to your show every day, Joe.
Fair play, fair play. You have a nice story about two robins.
I have a very unusual, nice story. The way it is, this has been on over 2 years now. I presume it's a female and a male robin. It's the only bird that you probably know, Joe, that you can't distinguish between the male and the female. They're the same colour. You know, other birds, the male is always more colourful, you know.
Okay.
That's the only bird. This has been on for 2 years.
So the robin Aidan is the only small Irish bird that you can't distinguish between the male and the female.
They're the same, Martin, exact same.
Okay.
While there's other birds, the male is always more colourful, more.
Okay, and do you observe the robin?
Now, I'll tell you now what happens now. Around about 7:30 in the morning, I have my window, my bedroom window open. I presume it's four, the female, and I couldn't be 100%. How would it be? So. She lands on the window, and I have the curtain put over a wee bit each way, and my bed faces the window.
Your bed, okay.
And she looks at me and chirps at me, much to say, you may get up and get the grub ready. So I get up, again, I wouldn't be doing that anyway. And then she flies over to the door, waiting for me to open the door. Now, over half the door, but they've been out of
magic, yeah.
Aye, but he passes no remarks. He's 14 now, and he just passed no remarks. He looks at me, he gets stimulated, but it's too often. So what happens then, she just be waiting on the ledge of the door. As I open the door, I'm only a foot away from her, and she waits till I get it ready. I have a little bit, and I put her on the platform. And I do, first off, the rich pea biscuit. And she can't wait. Like, the minute I put it down, she lands straight away within a couple of inches of my hand and eats of it. And then she gives him a turn. He comes in then.
Ah,
and
very,
looking at it.
Very fair.
You wouldn't
yeah.
see it. I'm not cutting it. It's been on just 2 years. But as you know, you probably know Robin might only live for 3 years or 4 years. So eventually the might come, you know, but I promise you.
And the two robins that come into you every morning for the rich tea biscuit,
yeah,
they don't fight, do they?
No. Okay. My husband will fight, if I would say. So they won't fight. A male and a female will never fight. It's only two males.
Okay. Two males, okay. Yeah. And does it have to be a rich tea?
Well, she seems to like, I got the other type, what do you call it, the other ones like
the gold grain or whatever, yeah.
He didn't seem to like them. They're rather the rich tea.
Okay.
Yeah. And then another wee move. Now, many would think it is probably. See, when you get the rich tea just is hard. What I do, I would leave a couple of rich tea out in the kitchen and just let the atmosphere thaw from the morning.
Yeah, get a little bit.
I don't make them into crumbs. I just with my finger and nail, I just cross them in the way, and
good
you
lad.
See they're galloping. You double the small non-crumbs and small a little bit, you know.
You have it down to a tea, to a rich tea, Aidan. Fair play to you.
And
what else do you observe up there out your window from your bed? Is there other?
I'll tell you something else and you laugh. There's a man who saved me, and he had trees, and he kind of thinned them out. They were large trees. And he said, I'm sick of these there. I'm sick of these crows, he said, these roots, they're making an awful racket. But
okay.
I guarantee you, Pat, I said, if you knock the trees and leave a few left there, they will build more nests than their mother trees. So what they've done was, they built double the amount of nests there and those three trees that he left. And now I have a couple of ours trees near my house, and they're after the first of mine and coming over to me.
So they're after getting their own back.
Aidan,
would you see a pine marten or an otter or indeed any other rare wildlife?
Well, you see,
the fox
you
even.
Know wildlife is suffering. Even small birds are suffering because of all the farming and all that. You know, it's all there's no meadows. There's another wee bird that's kind of suffering, and there's only certain areas in the country. It's been okay once with meadows.
Okay.
And the meadows near the home place there, and it's the wee yellow, what we call it, it's a finch, the related to finch.
Well, I'd love to, Aidan, and fair play to you. I'd love to talk to you again. We'll hope to get a better line. That's Aidan McDonald above and loud. Joe at rt.ie, 51551 text.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Caroline, you're bringing together the robin and the lawnmower, two themes of the programme today. Caroline.
I am. How are you?
Great. And yourself?
Not too bad. Yeah, my husband was going to get the lawnmower there last week. He was going to cut the mother-in-law's grass. And right on top of the lawnmower, there's a sack. And in the sack, he just spotted a little nest with two little eggs. And he's been flying in and out. She's been flying in and out now for the last week. And with a small peep, I know we're not supposed to go near nests, but with this little peep in, and now four eggs inside.
Ah, beautiful.
So we won't be cutting our grass.
You won't. the
Robin or anybody else's grass.
She's hijacked the lawnmower.
That's it.
Now, is it a ride-on lawnmower or the old
no,
style?
No, it's a tiny, we've only a small little garden.
Okay, that hasn't stopped some fellas with small little gardens buying big ride lawnmowers and...
That's it.
Stripping to the... But anyway, the robin is right, aren't they? No mow may. Let the garden grow.
Now, normally, we don't really cut our grass anyway because I actually like the dandelions. And I always leave dandelions out the front as well. And my lovely next-door neighbour sometimes asks me, do I want my grass cut on my side? And she'll say, no, I leave it alone. You like your dandelions. So, yeah.
So you'll keep... And by the way, have you looked it up, as the fella said? How long will the robin stay in your lawnmower?
Now, this is not the first year she's come. They've been coming on and off for the last couple of years.
Okay.
And one year they came back twice, so we two lots.
Oh, hide the lawnmower when the first lot go.
So I think we'll be borrowing a lawnmower in another couple of weeks.
You sure will. Okay, well, they're in safe hands anyway. Well spotted done, Caroline. Well done.
Lovely.
Thanks, Caroline.
Thanks,
Pat McKay. Pat, good afternoon.
Afternoon, Joe.
What did you spot? Oh, your boards on the land and magpies. Go ahead.
Well, it's just to give a farmer's perspective, Joe, on what we see every day. And I would put it to you that farmers are as good a conservationist as any other, because we live in nature and we appreciate nature and we see it in all the seasons of the year. But magpies are my big issue. And I know magpies, as far as I'm concerned, aren't an indigenous species in Ireland, but we watch them during spring and summer, and they're territorial. They're like robins, they have their own plots and their own areas, and they police them really well, and deer and other magpies come into the area. But they spend the summer and the spring on high observational posts, just picking out small birds' nests. And should it be robins, thrushes, blackbirds, once that time comes and there's one bird fledges from the nest, they systematically pick them off one by one. And they literally don't leave any.
Wow.
And they take them back. They're carnivores. They take them back to their own nest to feed their own. And that's, as you said earlier, it's circular. Life is circular, and it's so cruel. But there's no real answer to this. But they have become in my lifetime so efficient at this food source now, and I can see bird numbers dropping. And I know farmers get a bad press, but farmers are feeding birds accidentally when they're feeding cattle. They're feeding birds, but
you're blaming the magpie.
The magpie has to be admired. If humans were as efficient as magpies, literally, they could teach us a lesson, because they are absolutely efficient in what they're doing currently, and they've developed that over a long number of years.
But I presume, like most birds and wildlife, magpies are protected. You can't go out shooting. Well, maybe you can. Can you go shooting magpies?
Well, actually, they're not. To be honest with you, something RSPB and the likes don't really... They're not that keen on admitting this, but if you want to... I'm giving you a farmer's perspective that I see all year, and it saddens me. That's just to be honest with you. There's no real answer unless...
And you say it's a magpie. What saddens you is the magpie on the rampage.
Yes. You have again, Joe, you have to admire nature, because they have developed such an efficient manner of a food source. You can't blame the magpie, because that's nature and just how it works.
And what part of the country are you in, Pat?
Well, we're in the beautiful Mourne Mountains here in the north.
Okay.
Beautiful day here too, but
Well, describe what you're looking at. I presume, I hope you're not near the area damaged by those gorse fires.
Well, actually, once the Mourns is on fire, we can see it, yeah. And wow. There's no smoke today. There was smoke yesterday.
You have a beautiful view.
We could talk all day about that too. You know, the authorities encourage farmers to take sheep off the mountain, so you have more fuel there for when the fires do start to really get out of condition. But the whole of existence is reaching a happy medium, Joe, and we all love nature and love to work with nature, and we have the human race to sustain. So it's just getting a happy medium and respecting nature, which not all people do, unfortunately.
Okay, and are there birds of prey in the Mourne Mountains, given that we mentioned them earlier?
Oh, buzzards. I remember, I'm a joiner by trade, and I remember roofing a house 35, 40 years ago and seeing the first buzzard into Northern Ireland, and we sat on the roof watching them. Wow. Now they're in every second field in Northern Ireland. Okay. They made a brilliant recovery. Okay. Red kites are the same. Brilliant story from the RSPB getting red kites back and introduced to this part of the country.
Okay, beautiful, beautiful. Well, enjoy the rest of the good weather. Enjoy the rest of the good weather.
Thanks, Joe.
Go to Margaret Joe at rt.ie 51551.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And Joe at rt.ie. Bob, you're still there. Are you going out photographing today?
Not today. But I'm going out tomorrow.
Yeah. Okay. And by the way, have you won awards? Somebody text me and say, is that the Bob Foyle that won awards for photography?
I did a few years back.
And what did you win them for?
I won a book on how to take photographs. No, it was a brilliant book. It's a Canon. It was a competition by Canon.
And how long are you based in Ireland?
Bought the land here about 30 years ago. 25 years actually living here now. Yeah.
And you're well settled, obviously.
But I was here when I was 18 originally. So.
Okay. Yeah.
Spent 5 years fishing. Yeah.
But given that most people have a good mobile phone with a good camera, is your hobby and your skill being diluted?
In what way do you mean?
I mean, everyone is taking photographs. And can people recognise the skill and the professionalism in your own efforts?
Yes, but a lot of people, I mean, the camera, you know, the phones these days have improved dramatically. But, I mean, photographs, trying to photograph an eagle with a mobile phone is impossible, you know, because as soon as you get within 200, 300 metres, they're taking off. That's why disturbance is very important this time of the year. You know, if they, I mean, there's two pairs nesting on Loch Derg. That's fairly, that's common knowledge because the Mount Shannon, they had, they used to have a little hut there when the pair there were breeding. And Portumna Forest Park, when the pair were there, they also, National Parks and Wildlife and Quiltshire, they built a bird hide there. So that was fantastic, you know, because it was about 400 metres to the tree and you could see it quite clearly. And that was really good time until the female died. She got avian flu.
Oh, God. Well, I'll let you get back out.
I'm going out again tomorrow.
Okay, well done. Thanks indeed. That's Bob Foyle in Tipperary. Geraldine is in Clare. Geraldine, good afternoon. You say don't mow the lawn.
Oh, I really think it would be best for everything, not just you and me, but, you know, all those birds and bees you're talking about and the insects and stuff like that, although I don't like slugs. But to allow a proper... I think the farmer used the word circularity.
Yeah.
To take place. We need not be obsessed. We need not be anal and be out there with a pair of nail scissors. You know.
Yeah, but do you let your grass grow?
Well,
unendingly.
I have to admit, I don't cut it myself. Okay. Somebody comes and cuts it for me, which is great. But and up to now, I have not been letting it grow for long enough during the spring.
So what's your resolution now?
To leave it until well into May.
I want to not look at now, pardon my use of this word, because it should never be used about beauty and nature. Does it not look untidy?
I don't see that as a problem.
Okay, I thought you wouldn't. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Stay there, Geraldine. Margaret Daly. Margaret, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
You have another theory. You say the birds are suffering from a lack of food.
Yes, well, I think that if anyone who is of a senior age would recognise that 40 years ago, if you drove from here to Kilkenny or from here to Cork or Donegal or wherever, every petrol station that you would stop at would have somebody to clean your windscreen because there would be so many insects on them.
Ah, good point.
Now you could now you could drive, you know, to any part of Ireland and still have a clean windscreen. And I think this is a huge indicator of the death of a lot of pollinating insects that are absolutely vital for our survival. And I think that we need to look at this very carefully.
That's a very, very interesting way to survey, so to speak. And what's killing the insects?
Well, I think that we use a lot of insecticides in gardens and in farms. And I think that single species growing of, you know, single species grasses or single species trees and things like that have played a huge part in it, you know.
Stay with us, Margaret, if you would please. Geraldine Broad is still there, and Carl, we'll talk to Carl Holland after this break.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And Joe at rt.ie 51551 is the text number. And I even saw an envelope today with the Joe at rt.ie, and it got to RTE, but it's Joe. RT Radio Dublin 4 if you are sending a letter or information by post, which is always welcome. Carol Holland, you're looking for tips. Go ahead, Carol.
Hey, Joe. Thanks for taking the call.
And thanks for making the call.
All right. We've got two lovely cats.
Okay.
Two grey tabbies. They're very friendly cats. But the one annoying thing is that regularly they'll bring back a bird. They go out.
Yes,
they're
course,
outdoor
yeah.
cats. And and we've got bales on them. We always have bales on them, but it doesn't seem to deter them. And I was wondering, is the only thing to deter them is to get their claws trimmed or cut? Is there any other way of?
Oh, you've tried the bales.
Yeah.
The bales didn't work.
Yeah, yeah. They're great hunters. But would anybody have any advice or anything else? Or is it okay to cut the cat's nails or the claws and just go with that? That should stop them. Would that be what people would recommend, really?
Yeah, I don't think I wouldn't be. I'm not Derek Mooney, unfortunately. Derek would have the answer at his fingertips, so to speak, whether to cut the nails. You love your cats, obviously. What are they called?
Love the cats, and they're gorgeous cats, but it does bother us when they bring back birds. And we'd really like to deter that as much
And
as
what possible. And what are your cats called?
Oh, Luna and Chai.
Luna and Chai. Beautiful combination. Yeah, beautiful combination. Okay, Carl, we put it out there. The bells don't work.
Right.
Obviously want to, people love their cats, as I said earlier.
Yeah.
And you want to see, is there any other ideas? Maybe we'll get them in at Joe at rte.ie and Sound James Feeney. Thank you, Carol. Research, Richie Byrne. Producer, Shannon Gorman. Broadcast coordinator, Shane Galvin. And Ray Darcy is next.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Refresh your home this spring with new curtains. Explore our stylish collection now at harrycurry.com.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815 or send your WhatsApp voice notes to 087 484 8888.